From the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will no longer perish, but have eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I've got to experience everything today. I'm the acolyte. I'm the deacon. I'm the gospel reader. I will serve Eucharist. I'm the preacher. And somewhere in there, I'm still an archbishop, but I don't know where that went. I think so. Just in case, I have options. Well, since I quoted that scripture, let's look at it a little bit. John 3:16. It's the football verse. It's the one, you know, they always have on signs during football games. But it is really one of the most powerful verses in all of scripture. And it's not just about the fact that we can be born again and we can have new birth, but what is he saying here? It's really important. And this is the fact that most Christians don't know is more evidence of the fact that most Christians don't know the gospel. They've prayed the prayer and God's honored their faith, but they don't understand the gospel. And the angels, when they were speaking to the shepherds, they said this gospel is such good news. It's so good. It'll bring great joy to all people and peace on earth. And so if people under the fact that Christians don't always walk in great joy or peace in the slice of earth they live in is evidence of the fact they don't understand the gospel. And then when they proclaimed it, they said it's very simple. There's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Well, I understand the gospel, Bishop. I mean, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to go to heaven one day. I prayed to receive Christ. That's the gospel. No, there's much more to Jesus being a Savior than the fact that our sins are forgiven and we're going to get to go to heaven one day. Jesus says, it says about Jesus in Romans 5:10 that not only are we saved and reconciled to God through the death of his Son, but we're being saved every moment of every day in the life of his Son. Jesus Christ being our Savior is not something he did for us. It's something he is to us. It's something he is in us. It's a person, not an action. It's him. So when it says, God so loved the world, that's an encouraging word to me. We mentioned this some yesterday, I think we have lately, that people have this idea, I shared this at Blue Jean yesterday, that God hated us because we were sinners. But when Jesus went to the cross, God's attitude towards us changed. And that's just not true. He's talking about the unsaved world. God so love the world, that he gave what he couldn't afford to give. When you give away the only one of those things that you only have one of them, and it's been precious to you all your existence, and you give it away, you gave what you couldn't afford to give. He gave his only begotten Son, whose fellowship he had known for all of eternity, and yet he gave his only Son to come to take on our broken humanity and then to die on the cross for us. I think that's a pretty good sign of love. Those of you who've come on Wednesday nights, it says in chapter 5 of Romans that Christ, this is God's demonstration of his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the great demonstration of God's love. And so this idea about it changing God's heart is just nonsense. God never not loved us, even in our lost condition. Mankind was his dream, was the triune God's dream. They decided to open it up and allow, create a creature that could participate in their life and in their fellowship and in all that they were and all that they had. And that dream got spoiled. And God pursued us through the ages and fulfilled what he promised, that he was willing to have his own head bruised, his own heel bruised, to bruise the head of the serpent who had spoiled the dream. God could have just scratched them off. There were just two of them, and just start over again. But there was more than just two of them in God's heart. You already existed in his heart and mind. He already knew you. It's called foreknowledge. He already loved you. It was too late. He was captivated by the dream, and you and I get to experience that dream. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to change our attitude towards God, not his attitude towards us. God didn't become love after the cross. He's been love from the beginning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever will just believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word perish here is the word spoil or ruin. The fall of man ruined God's dream for us, which is so much bigger than what we've settled for. That His dream, that in Christ we would literally participate in the life that He lives, enjoying all that He is and all that He has, that is a remarkable dream. Think about that. Not just we could have fellowship with Him, but that fellowship would be union. That we would literally be inhabited by Him, and He would inhabit us, and we would inhabit Him. There would be this co-inhabitation, and we would participate in His very life as He participated in our life. That's amazing. But because of the fall, there was the ruin, and mankind's perishing. God so loved the world, He would not live with that. He so loved you and me, He would not live with perishing, with us being ruined or spoiled. He wanted His dream fulfilled. That we would no longer perish, but have eternal life. Don and I were talking about this a little bit the other day, and there's a chapter in the book called What is Eternal Life? And the word life here is the word zoe, which is God's life. But the word eternal doesn't have anything to do with foreverness. It's the word aeon, age. And it would be like if you were talking about an age that had a particular characteristic or quality to it, like the Bronze Age or the Stone Age or the, you know, what, industrial age. So he says the age of God's life. Well, the ages to come is the endless experience of living in the realm and participating without filters God's life. Eternal life, that's what he says in John 17. This is eternal life, that you would experience the Father and you would experience me. He didn't just mean that I would get to experience Him like we're in this room together. He meant experience me. This whole participation in my life. And so heaven is, if you want to describe heaven, the reality of heaven, the life as it's lived in heaven, is the age of God's life. We just live in the context, the atmosphere, the participation in, without sin, without fallenness, God's life. And this is what, it's a real famous passage from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, the age of God's life, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the life that I'm going to live then is now lived now by Him through me. Think about that. We don't have to wait to go to heaven. We're already seated in the heavenly places. Heaven's come to us. That age of God's life is already operating in us through, he says, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because you and I are in union with Christ, we're in union already, beforehand, before then, the age of God's life, the age of experiencing union with God's life. Eternal life is a person, and the life that person lives, the very life of the age to come, lived now by Him in us. Again, the life that you'll live then, lived now by Him in us. It's just that's God's free gift to us. John 3:16 is an enormous verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would just believe in Him, their life would stop spoiling, being ruined, but they would experience what He created them to experience, God's life in them through Christ, in us. And it's a free gift. So all you can do with a free gift is receive it. The way we receive things from God is by faith. You don't have to perform. You can't earn it. It's not about deserving it. It's just God's free gift to us. Because He knew if we had to earn it, we'd never get it. We would never get it right. It's just God's free gift to us. See, that's the gospel. And I think more people would sincerely believe if they heard the gospel. Guess what? Jesus Christ wants to come live in you and live the life of heaven now through you. What do you think that would be like? In the process, he would stop your own self-destruction. All you got to do is believe. It's so much better than what we tell people. It's so much bigger than what we tell people. I read you this one more verse. I've read it a number of times over the years, but just hear it again. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. It's not talking about a proposition. Not talking about a thing. He's talking about a person. The eternal life which was with the Father, Jesus. Jesus is the eternal life. The free gift of Jesus now living in us, our living in Him, is eternal life. The life that we'll get to live then, live now by Him in us. Jesus said, I came, you might have that kind of life, God's life, and have it more abundantly. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.